Welcome to Us and My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Optimize My Life show, which broadcasts on the Blog Talk Radio and many, many other platforms. That we are a show that's in an organization called the Hope Collection, which sponsors this radio show. We're so excited that you would be with us today. I know there's going to be some incredible things that are shared. We pride ourselves because of our theme and our founder that has developed the whole program that allows people to learn how to help others to help them, help others help others. And that's kind of unique in one way, and yet it's becoming so popular, pay it forward, and people are more receptive. I'm really happy that we're at the beginning of a new year because people are looking for new things. This is another chance to step forward, go forward, and boy, do we love doing that in the travel business. And today, that's the center of our discussions will be in that area. And I'm so proud that we are able to serve the world. And we operate in the United States. I'm in Buffalo, New York, where we run the show out of. But we have hosts that come on the show and will host you and guide the show on different days of the week at noon Eastern time. And the blog radio show is a call-in show at 714-816-4686. And so anybody can come on at any time and share or ask questions regarding topics. Today, we're going to be in the whole realm of travel. And boy, is that really exciting. There's so many different ways that we go in directions. And one of the advantages we have some people that have expertise, experience, and insight into what's going on in the world of travel, what's going on in the world. And we talked to them enough, Rick Reese, our guest speaker, who is he's a founder's director of a corporation called Surge 365. And that is one of the leading pioneers and developer of the internet travel business and operations, both as a company, sponsoring and setting up individuals, owners, and the whole gamut of training and involvement and backup. And so welcome today to the show. We're glad that you could join us. And as we broadcast today, there may be times somebody may have a question that they can bring up to Rick because he certainly is knowledgeable. And we have people that are really jumping at a chance to not only be a traveler, but some of them are actually looking for a way to have a career that can create great incomes and great lifestyles for people. But first, I want to welcome Rick Reese, who has been a traveler. You remember that song, and I do, by Ricky Nelson's Traveling Man? Well, I got to tell you something. We've got the Traveling Man with us, and he's back from an incredible monumental and just incredible ceremony that was held to honor his son, and he was a part of the celebration. I'm going to let him tell the story, but please listen in. This is my friend Rick Reese, founder's director.
Hey,
365. Hey, you're
awesome.
On the road.
I am on the road. Here, the tires are rolling. Yeah, we're
all
right. Way back from Nebraska Cornhuskers. And where my son is, he's stationed off at Air Force Base in Nebraska. And he and his lovely wife.
Well, something exciting just happened there, Rick.
Yeah, he just made major in the Air Force and pinned on, had the pinning on ceremony. And he asked me to be the presiding officer over the ceremony. So I had to.
I wasn't even there, and that's the most interesting photo I've seen in my history of being rude, Rick. for a father to hand his son that honor, man, high five you through
man.
The airways. Go ahead.
That's
awesome
saying,
stuff.
In that picture that Brenda caught, Brenda actually took that picture and caught me smiling at him, you know, beaming as a proud father, and he's beaming as a son, proud son. And I was just thinking with that picture, I said, man, I haven't seen that smile since you was born. And I said, it's a boy.
and then, Rick, they grow up and you graduate them out of the house and you finally get them, some of them win trophies and stuff, but to be able to give your son that kind of honor and, you know, he's going to be like you when you grow up. You were being a military man yourself. I know your heart was just filled, man, and my heart was just filled with being with the photo. Again, I wasn't even there, but I was there. That's awesome.
You know, to be able to administer the oath of office, so help me God, you know, to administer the oath of office and just that whole team, It was, as they say, surreal. And I was just talking to Brenda about that, how, you know, we travel, but traveling prepares you to go into the, quote-unquote, the unknown realm, where you don't know what's going to happen. You know, you just know it's going to be good. You know, like when you go to another city and you don't really know what's going on, or you go on the first cruise, or even any cruise, or you fly into any destination, it takes a certain amount of courage to do that, you know, because you don't know. And you say, okay, well, I'm going to figure it out as we go. So I'm going into the ceremony as the presiding officer over the ceremony. We come marching in, you know, they play, you know, the anthem, and we're marching in, and we come to the front of the room, stand at attention, and they start going through the program. I get up, I give my little speech, and Brenda and Cameron's wife come up, and they put on the oak leaves, the major on his shoulder, and they're pinning it. And Brenda's done it before. She's like, doo-doo-doo, done. And Cameron's new wife, in fact, he's coming up on his anniversary here in February 19th. She's still trying to pin it on. And Brent, February 19th?
Yeah.
How about that? So that's Cameron's wedding anniversary. Special day.
Special day.
She's pinning the thing on, and one of the little clips dropped on the floor. And so Brenda's kind of just playing around, you know, because she's done, but she's just fumbling around, you know, give her time, give Lauren time. But they get him with the hopefully slogans on there, and they take the pictures, and he does this little speech. The only time I really almost broke down, and I was surprised, because when he first asked me, I'm like, you know what, I don't know if I can do this. So I said, oh, you can't say no, of course. You can't say no. So it's like, you know, however you get through, you got to just muddle through it. But the only time at the very, very end, my voice kind of cracked, was when you take care of the people, and they'll take care of you. So, Ron, you know, that comes back to what we do in serving others. And it just lets you know the motivation for us doing this comes from the heart. And that was the only time in the little speech that remarked that my voice kind of, you know, go ahead.
Well, Rick, we just consider it such a privilege because you've opened your family. You shared with us these special moments. And in this case, we honor you because you honor us. But to know the job that you and Brenda have done in raising your family and to be able to have this recognition is incredible. It's really, we all share and have pride in it with you. And we honor you for
thank
it.
You.
So,
you know,
it's so cool.
That, thank you so much. That was the other thing at the end of the ceremony. you know, the people that came up to us, and this one lieutenant colonel came up to us, and he says, and I saw him walking from like a long way off, you know, walking. And he came up, finally got to me, and he says, you know, he said, your son is one of the finest officers I've ever served with. And he said it with such a tone in his voice, a compassion, a deep feeling of sincere. I mean, I said, you got to get away from me, Washbar, crying. I said, but thank you. All the people that actually came up to us and was talking about, you know, our son. And I'm like, man. And, you know, you can't plan that. It's only the love of God that can actually show you and give you the wisdom and how to do that. And I was looking at that picture, Country Boy, yesterday, and it reminded me of a special moment early in my military career where I didn't have a lot of time for the kids. And I was rushing here and rushing there and rushing here, and they were like, can we play catch? Can we do this? And I'm like, you know that? And then, I don't know if you remember that song, The Cat's in the Cradle.
Yes, very cheap.
The Cat's in the Cradle, Silver Spoon, Little Boy Grew, and The Man Unfolded. When you coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. And that song goes through a whole life experience where the father continuously does not have time for the son. And time goes by. And what I love that song is time goes by where now the dad is looking for time with the son. And the son is like, you know, kids got the flu, sure nice talking to you, Dad, you know. And so the whole song goes through where now the son doesn't have time for the dad. And all of a sudden, because of age and different things in the course of life, you know, the dad wants to reach out to the son, but the son has become the dad. You know, my boy was just like me. That song hit me during that time. And I said, no, Rick, you are going to make time for your kids. And this is the result of that decision. Isn't that amazing? And it reminds me of the major decisions that we have in life. And sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't, right? And there's always a consequence. And so the consequence in this situation, of course, is Ron, you saying thank you for sharing the life and da-da-da-da-da-da. And I definitely appreciate that. But that picture that you're talking about, Country Boy, it took me back to that moment of decision. Do you make time for your family, you know, and your kids and your wife? And I'm so glad that I did.
Well,
Rick, I might add that, you know, being a spiritually mature and growing man, you had to believe a long time ago in your mind that you could do all things. And then knowing, just really knowing in your soul and your spirit that you could. And then trusting with your heart allows you and Brenda to be able to travel throughout the world with what you call the spirit of uncertainty, being able to go into areas, into cities, into new lands, onto new cruise ships, into new chocolate factories, and have the lights without worrying, but knowing that you are purposely, I love it when Ron says that we do everything intentionally, you are purposely pursuing your passion, which brings out and allows you to flourish the way that you and Brenda are flourishing, because you are living a purpose-driven life, which means that you're not just coming on the radio every now and then and going over here every now and then and getting a plaque and a pat on the back. You're not just talking. You're living the life of a soldier. You're living the life of a Christ child, and you're living the life of a father. So, man, high five to you again, because you're not just my friend, not just my coach, not just my mentor. You're my brother in Christ, and you're by our Father's business. So high five out to you, Brenda, and your children, because I know that we've already broken that generational curse, and your children are going to carry on the legacy once you pass the torch on to them.
Man, that's powerful. That's powerful. You know, and that's the opportunity that we have. You know, that's the opportunity that we absolutely have. I was looking at something this morning that was talking about the travel benefits, the mental health and well-being benefits of travel. And one of the things that I've heard before where the feeling that you have in travel is kind of like the feeling that you have when you pray. You know, that feeling of well-being, the feeling of mental health, that all is well. I mean, I know, Ron, you mistakes and knowing.
Just for a second. It was so important what you said. We had an interruption. Can you start that conversation?
I was saying, I know that you've had that feeling of that sweet spot, that peace, whether it be like for you, all you can eat cream of wheat, steak.
By the way, are
your favorite
food that was good during that? You had good food during that ceremony too. I see you had to include that.
You know, I'll tell you one of the things that was so awesome. My son and his wife set up the whole thing where they paid for the whole party for like 3 days. Where they took us, the whole party, out to eat, 12 people. They had a party over their home, 25, you know, plus people in their home, where I got a chance to meet all their friends. They took us out to, you know, X-Golf, swing and take some golf shots, you know, hit some golf balls, and in simulation. And they paid for the whole fun.
So, Rick, we don't call that a buffet. We call that a favor.
Man. And, I mean, you talk about, like, major meals, and they planned the whole thing. And everything went according to plan. And I just went, wow. You know. And so, yeah, there were some excellent meals in there, food, fun. Everything was, like, just laid out. Now, Ron, you know, this is coming off the cruise. You know, this is coming off a 12-day vacation.
That's right. You had to suffer through that. You had to suffer through that, didn't you? That was
I had to suffer through this Caribbean cruise. But, you know, and that's one of the questions. Does life have to be highs and way lows? Highs and way lows. Or can you get a steady pace where good things happen? You know, good things happen one after another. You know, from one glory to another glory to another glory. My life goes from one glory to another glory to another glory to another glory to another glory. That is the pattern of my life, the one glory. Now, is that a declaration? Is that just how you see and interpret the world, that no matter what, is that a positioning, you know, of a mental state, a mental place of wellness because of, you know, where travel puts you? Right.
Rick, that's a good way to put it, a mental well state of mind, spirit, and soul. I love Trinity when all three of those things collide. And once you get on that pathway of obedience, and you understand it's not about you, It's not about Brenda. It's about doing what God has given you to do. And you said your passion was traveling. Brenda's passion was traveling and being the blessing in your going and your coming. Yes, it's about his glory, because every time I hear you talk and every time I hear you speak and every time anybody can see the smile and gleam on your face, it's always good, good, good. That's what glory, glory, glory does. You said it doesn't matter whether it's due to chocolate factory in Germany, whether you're aboard the biggest cruise ship line in the world, or whether you're cruising down in the Caribbean, or whether you're in Nevada in a military base with your son. He says, I'm going to go ahead late last night while you and Brenda were sleeping, getting ready to hit the road. He told me to remind you that he launched you two bodyguards. He called one of them goodness, and he called the other one mercy. He's going to follow you and Brenda everywhere that you continue to go, as long as you stay on his path. And he's not trying to figure out how to get you to his destiny. He's all these years, he's been preparing you and your family for the destiny that he has already prepared for you. And I said in closing, he told me to tell you again, he's going to give you all the desires of your heart, because it's not about you. It's about his glory. It's going from glory to glory to glory.
That's wonderful.
Amen.
That's wonderful, country boy. May I just say something that what it's really called all above, and we're not gilding the lily here, we're just telling the truth, is that you're living in favor, Rick. God does
Amen.
Reward. He does show favor. He doesn't have favorites. He wants to show everyone his favor. But you say, well, why is that guy or why is that gal? Well, you have to understand their circumstances. And in many cases, if you look behind the scenes, behind the curtains, you find out they're still humans. They're just forgiven. They're forgiven children, but they're honoring and lifting up their Lord. And they're finding ways to do it in life by being a servant leader. You and Brenda have demonstrated that. And now the fruit is on the tree. And so we get to share in the celebration. And I'm so proud to have this forum that you could share this with us. We have, you know, we have this program, and we have the program of the tool of travel that we talk about every Tuesday. And but we have the versatility in the show, in this platform, to demonstrate to the world why we serve the God we serve, and how living in His will, we can have all these benefits and situations come up. In between that, we do have some things that aren't so wonderful in that way, but they teach us to be in the servitude, gratitude, and just happiness. And that's why this show is so bright. I love, Rick, from the day that you started coming on the show, it was after we met, and it's just been a light. You're like a candle on the hill. You're lighting up the valley. And glad to be a part of
helping
you.
Lord. You know, and I appreciate that. But even coming on the show, and I know Country Boy remembers Burl Walk, and coming on Burl Walk show, and the commitment and the courage, because Burl didn't cut any punches. He ain't holding no punches. You better come through. Otherwise, that was your last time on his show. And but the commitment and the courage that it took to step up and to consistently come on Burl Walk show and to be invited back. That's a decision. That's a decision along the lines of the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy grew and the man unfolded. You know, when you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. That's that same kind of decision. They're all decisions in life, you know, that we make that take us to the next place. It's almost like a checkbox. Okay, you made the right decision. Check, you know, filling up the favor, you know, favor bin. You know, you made the right decision. Okay, obedience. Check, okay. But all I was going to say is coming on that cruise, coming back from that cruise, it was a MSC cruise, free cruise for travel agents. And I was the inaugural launching of this ship. And they sailed the ship from Italy to New York City, and then on down to Miami, where we picked it up to catch the cruise to go to the Caribbean, 9-day cruise. 5,200 people on this ship. That's larger than many of the cities in Nebraska that we passed. That's larger than the city of Elkhorn. You know, that's larger than many of the cities that we were just looking at. We went by one that was like 2,900 people, 2,950. 5,200 people on this cruise liner. And you couldn't tell because of how everything was spread out. It was that many people. Whether it was through the dining, you didn't see that many people. Whether it was through all the, you know, different decks and decks, and you couldn't even tell it was 5,200 people on that ship. And I know before, and that's the largest number of people on the ships that I've been on. You know, we've done 36 cruises. I've never been on a cruise ship that large, and I was intentionally avoiding it because I'm like, man, you're going to be running over people. But I'm here to report the way they lay the ship out and all the different activities and all the multi-layered things that they do, you have no idea it's even that many people. You have no idea it's even that many people. And we did the 9-day cruise. But one of the things that I was thinking about here, being on this trip coming in back from Nebraska, we were going to come back yesterday, and we were going to leave 6:30 in the morning to get ahead of traffic and, you know, just to make our way back to Colorado Springs, about an 8-hour drive. And both of us, Quinn and I, just like, do we want to rush to come back? Do we want to just get into that, and we both collectively said, no, we don't have to. We're retired. You know. You know, we made a decision, again, another decision. We made a decision to do business back in 2004 and became free entrepreneurship in 2005. And we have not gone back to work since 2005. We're still free. So yesterday, instead of jumping up, get back for work, get in the rigmarole, all the, you know, the hustle and the bustle. We said, no, let's stay another day. And now beautiful sunshine, roads clear. You know, we didn't have to get into the traffic. We left after the traffic. Beautiful drive back to Colorado Springs. Entrepreneurship. Ron, I love how you say the pilgrims didn't come over looking for a job. Could you tell that story, please?
Well, I learned this in, I was in high school. I was a history, it was my favorite. I was a history buff. I took extra courses, and I thought I was going to end up being a teacher in history. And in a way, I still am. But I learned at that time about the history of America. And to make it in simple terms and shortcut the story as best I can, in Europe, everybody was a slave. To wake up America, everybody was a slave. Unless you were royalty, you lived and died to serve the king. And you had no choice, and you had nothing. And you didn't accumulate anything. You know, you could become a landowner. Oh, by the way, if you became a landowner, at least you had something. Well, it was so bad, many of the people decided that they had heard about this new world. There was an awakening to realize that the world's not flat. So they took everything they had, which was nothing, and they bargained to get on a box ship, and they choked off, not knowing where they were going, not knowing when they were going to get there. They risked everything. They put their hands, and they prayed to God, say, protect us, but take us where you will. They ended up, and they landed on a beach, and when they landed at Plymouth Rock, the first thing they did, they got on their knees, and they thanked God for in gratitude and mercy and protection to land where they were, to start a new life. And it was a free life. They weren't going to be under the thumb of being under the rule and that kind of method of government that existed at that time. Now, they had to face all the trials. They had to overcome everything. There was enemies. There were people who didn't want them here. And we'll go that story another day. But what they did is they got together. And they said, well, let's land and let's start our whole new homes and a new life. And they started doing that, but they didn't come here looking for a job. They came here for a new life. They came here for freedom. They came here for freedom of religion. They came here for the way to be able to live their life the way they felt best. And then when they first got here, they had to figure out, well, we got to feed ourselves and we got to do things and we got, you know, create a community. Well, the first year they decided to do it government. They all put everything in. We're going to let the government tell us with one guy and he was going to run the show. What they did is they went from one slavery to a new slavery. And in that, what they did is they gave up all their rights to make someone make all their decisions for them. And what happened is they starved to death. Now, then there was some bright idea in the group that they realized if they let each people take the skills and all the ways that people God provided them and the gifts that they gave them, if they allowed them to utilize them, they flourished. They had more food. In fact, they got to share it with the Indians and learn new things and do things. They shared with each other. They didn't demand of themselves of one, I got to feed you. In fact, they had a rule. Don't work, don't eat. So guess what? Everybody went to work. And if I learned how to be a blacksmith, I learned how to be a blacksmith. And I traded my goods for food, or the guy farmer and traded his goods for the blacksmith stuff. So what we did is we created an economy. It's called free enterprise. And between free enterprise, you got free because you can economically establish how you wanted to live based on what you did with the skills you had, what you learned, and how you learned to serve others. That's the story.
Wow. Ron, I got two cans of hope to open up and pour on the smorgasbord table in front of Rick and let him expound upon it, because when you said that word slave, woo, I had a flashback. Seemed like
that
America was on lockdown for a crime, corona, which no one committed. They locked down. Nobody could go nowhere. But I want Rick to open up and pour some new inspiration on what he's already being a part of. He's not like Nike talking about just do it. He's saying been there, done that. He's helping to heal the nation with vacations and creating memories now amongst families that will last a whole lifetime. And by him being obedient, he's talking about taking the wealth of the unrighteous, placing it back in the hands of the righteous. And Rick, if you don't mind, pour a little bit of salt on funding by travel. So while you're going and coming, you can show these organizations, churches and schools and non-for-profits how to take the wealth from the system with the tool that God has given you. Help heal the nation and fund organizations that have no money. Over to you, Rick.
You know, it's interesting because the pandemic was one of the best times of my life with respect to the people who lost folks and went through tough times. But it's amazing when you go into when you have a perspective, a positive perspective, that doesn't change based on situations. Because if you're looking through the lens of positivity, it changes things. It changes conditions. It changes people. It changes what others see, because you're looking at it from a whole different perspective. So the lockdown for the 2 years or so, for COVID, for Brenda and I going into it in positivity, was the best time of our life, you know, because it allowed us to reconnect. It allowed us to refocus our future, to tweak our future. It allowed us to, you know, to come together in a way that the hustle and bustle prior to it, it allowed us to level the playing field, you know, the world playing field. Now, listen to this. The world playing field was leveled during 2020 the world level playing field was level, 2020, 2021. And what do people that still have a slave mentality do? They wait for the return of control. People that have a slave mentality only work within a control system unless they have an entrepreneurial, unless that slave mentality is replaced by an entrepreneurial type mentality, they're looking for the controls, and they're comfortable in the controls. I have an entrepreneurial mentality, so when 2020 comes, I'm like, hey, I'm free. I'm freer. And during the pandemic, there was pandemic relief for businesses. Travel is a business. Travel was most impacted by the business, by the pandemic. We get relief, and we're chilling for 2 years. Some people look at that as bad. Some people look at that as good. I look at that as great. You know, you're going to give me relief for something that I'm doing because there's a worldwide impact on what I'm doing? Great. I'll receive it. And so 2020 was the best time of my life, you know, because I didn't have to go out and interact. I didn't have to do anything. Brian, did we do the, we still did the calls, right?
Not only did we do the calls, believe it or not, we actually, you live in Colorado and I live in Buffalo, New York. We actually saw each other more during the pandemic than before.
So Ron also has this positivity, him and Ian Linda. And so we're like on vacation. Oh, Ron, that's right. You got to tell this story, Ron. So we're going down to Cancun, and it's like at the trail end of the pandemic where everybody realized, you know, what the real impact was. So Ron's down in Cancun. I go down to Cancun, January, what was it, 21, and all the different measures are in place, and in Mexico they had their system down pat, right, Ron? Where you had the map you were on. But talk to us about that trip to Mexico on the tail end of the pandemic, and why that was actually a good thing when people were saying don't go, don't go, don't go. But then that's where I'll get back to what you had asked. But Ron, go ahead, tell us why that was actually a good thing.
Well, you see, we were given an opportunity a few years ago. The founder of the Hope Collection, Joel Griffin, and his wife, Artith, introduced us to the gentleman you're hearing right now. I don't know what your office was when you were officer, when you were in the Air Force, but I salute you, sir. You kind of led a vision through the Surge 365 travel business and programs. And then one day, Joel introduced us to each other. And I think you were in Florida when it happened, and we were in Buffalo. We never met. Never actually talked to you directly. But we got chatting, and you said, Ron, you can do this and do this in your life, and we do that, and here's a way to create really another career if you want it, or a money stream, if you prefer to call it that, and you can own it. And we got together. Well, initially we ended up going to, it was terrible. We had to go, a dream to go to Europe, and we did that. We went on a Viking River cruise and all that. But later we had the company sponsored a trip, as Dan Copeland, to go to Cancun. And it was a Grand Palladian Hotel, folks. I, in my entire life, have never been treated anywhere so wonderfully by so many people. It was paid for. It was, you know, we had to pay for the hotel package room. We got a discount on it because we're travel agents. That was tremendous. We were in an all-inclusive resort with entertainment and food. Food, you get food 24 hours a day. You had entertainment. You had being on a beach in a place where if you want to sit there under the umbrella table, they sir, what would you like? And a little while later, they come back, sir, would you like something else? My wife was having non-alcoholic pina coladas. I think she floated back from the beach to the hut. She was floating when she came home because she drank. Well, they were non-alcoholic, and hey, if that's your choice, you do that. But we did. And
I had a stroke, so they couldn't walk to the beach, so they brought me down on a big tricycle, big wheels on it, down to the beach, and they waited on us hand and foot, and they were nice. They weren't like, you know, and it just was so incredible to meet with everyone in the group, because we really had never spent time like we did in Cozumel. In fact, at one point, I believe we had a dinner at the steakhouse right on the beach, and after we were done, we had a under the stars, moonlight, dancing in the moonlight. We were having a party, food, more food, music, DJ, and we're sitting there dancing around and just having we're with Scott Tomer and Coach, the founder of the whole Surf 365 movement, Chris Coakley and his new wife. We were, and everybody was just dancing in the moonlight. Go ahead, Rick. You sing it better than I do. And we were just enjoying life. And the whole world
is sitting there. I understand the words that are coming out of your mouth. It's funny, man.
You could just picture.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm sitting in the parking lot of Walmart. I'm laughing. Just having you here, you good time. That's just a flashback. You should have been there.
Oh, my God.
You know, you can't explain this to people.
Wow.
Because travel is an experience. In Mexico, they were more concerned and consistent about procedures against for COVID than in the United States, where we had a lot of inconsistency. And so in going to Mexico, you felt totally safe because of the procedures that were followed by everyone. And so there was no up and down. Maybe they got their mask on. Maybe they don't. Maybe they're doing this. Maybe they got, you know, what? There was not. It was just consistency, you know, for to take care of the folks. What I was saying is making a decision to become an entrepreneur was the best decision that I've ever made. Making
Amen.
A decision, because I didn't know that was going to lead to my freedom. I didn't know that entrepreneurship was going to be the ticket to freedom, you know. And like you were saying, Ron, you know, over in Europe, everybody's a slave, you know, unless you're part of, you know, the royalty, and you were basically a peasant. And that's how things are. And so the freedoms that we actually have, even though a lot of people complain about our country, the freedoms that we have, people are locked into that control system when they don't realize they're actually free. I was looking at a video, a picture from like the Civil War days, and then I was looking at this picture, and it was a plantation in the background, and there was a gate, an open gate. One side was the bars, and on the other side was basically an open gate. And on the bars, you had these two young African-American black girls. And they were holding on to the bars. And they must have been maybe 6 and 7. And they were holding on to the bar side, totally disregarding the fact that the gate was actually an open gate. And the significance behind that, people are slaves and entrapped in their own mind. And so these two little African-American girls were just holding on to the bars, looking out with the plantation in behind them. And I don't know if they were slave girls or not. I don't know the period. But the significance and the symbolism behind that is relevant today for people of all races, where the bars are in your mind and the open gate is in your mind. And you specifically make a choice to hold on to the bars and stay behind the gate when you could take two steps to the right, right, and go free. And what we're saying in Hope and the Hope Collection, what Joel has put together for us here, is, you know, paying things forward, and there is freedom for you. But you have to make a decision, you know, to come out of the jail of your own mind. Take two steps to the right and enter a land of freedom. Right on the tail end of COVID, Brenda and I we had a trip to St. Kitts in the West Indies. And a lot of people were like, you know, COVID's still going on. Don't go. We're like, no, we're going to go. And that was another one of our great vacations because we're looking at it, again, through the eyes of positivity. But one of the most important things that when we went there, and I appreciate America, because during the COVID years where they said, okay, we're going to, you know, if you've got a business that's impacted, we're going to help you. No matter, you know, what the opinion is of that, it was great. But when we were in Belize, we had a chance to talk to the locals there. And they were saying, we appreciate what America did for you guys during COVID because we had no support. We had no support. We did nothing. And we had no support. And I was like, wow. You know, I'm proud to be an American with all the different things that are going on this weekend.
And, Rick, I want to repeat what you just said because it jumped back in my brain when you said it again because Brenda said something very similar the other night. We're prisoners locked up in our own minds using ignorance as an excuse to keep us blind. Forgive them, Father, because they know not. Brenda said ignorance is a choice nowadays. You know that you can travel. You know that you can write it off in your taxes. You know that you can create memories that will last a lifetime. You know better. So you're not ignoring the fact now that you can use this as a tool. You can use it as a family tool. You can use it as an organization tool. And even like when Ron is doing the stuff in the ministry work that he's doing with his church, because anybody that's a mover and a shaker are going places. It's hard to be a mover and a shaker and stay in the same place. So even though when the world was shut down, business was still moving. People were still moving. Even when you send me them little clips, Rick, when they show on the news and all the airports are closed and all the trains are closed. Yeah, but again, it was a shifting. When you said the ground was levelized so we could push the renew, the refresh, restart, re-energize button, it's almost like when your computer has a lot going on and a lot of people was getting caught up in the world tragedies, and it's kind of like you got so many windows on open worrying about this stuff that your computer just froze up. But what you said is you and Brenda, when it hit, you pushed the refresh. You didn't have to shut down. You just pushed the refresh, renew, re-energize button and looked at it from a different perspective. So I like it. I'm going to say it one more time. We are prisoners locked up in our own minds using ignorance as an excuse to keep us bound. So if you want to travel now, change your mind. You want to be an entrepreneur spirit now? Change your mind. All these certifications that you got, and Rick could go on and tell you about how people are not just going places. He'll tell you that most of the money that he made, he didn't make it in his hometown. We want to reach out and touch somebody, reach out and touch the world. We have all the connections to do that. Ron says in closing, we have no hidden agendas or hidden motives on what we do. We have every intention on blessing you, 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 and you. Back to you, Rick.
You know, what you're saying is so true. The money that I make doesn't come from the city that I reside. As we go and press into the future, it is so important to be mobile. Like I'm here in Nebraska on my way home. We made a decision yesterday to stay another day because there was nothing pressing based on to get to Springs with an urgency based on a decision that we made back in 2005-04 to become an entrepreneur. And after COVID, with it leveling the playing field, people still waiting for controls to come back so that they can tell them what to do. But a lot of people, you know, they call it the Great Resignation. A lot of people said, you know, after working from home during COVID, I don't want to go back into the office, right? You know, like slavery. Oh, you're coming back or you don't have a job. Okay, I'll come back. But that, so COVID leveled the playing field. But like they say, 100 people stranded on an island. 100 people stranded on the island. People will fall right back into what they know. You'll have that small percentage that becomes this. You'll have the larger percentage that becomes that. Where would you fall as people fall back into their own positions of what they know and where they're comfortable? Where would you fall in the 100 people stranded on an island and given $100 each? Right? You know, where would you fall in that? You know, would you still fall into the same category that you're in right now? And I can answer that question for you. And I'll say yes. Unless a person changes, unless, like you're saying, Country Boy, a mindset changes, you will continue to do the thing that you've always done. If you say, okay, I'm going to start something new, it's the beginning of 2023. I'm going to become an entrepreneur. Now, we talk travel on Tuesdays, but anything. Take a move. Make a step. Now, one thing that's interesting about travel is it teaches you to be that pioneer that would get on, you know, the Mayflower and sail to the United States, you know, total your way to the United States. But it teaches you to have that pioneer spirit to get on a cruise ship, to go to a destination in a foreign land. It teaches you to be that kind of person, to have that kind of courage. And not only does it teach you, but it rehearses the feeling of being a pioneer, of being the first, of going to a foreign country and talking to the locals and hearing what their country does for them. When we was on the 9-day cruise, you know, we was in walking the streets of Old San Juan and cobblestone. What's beautiful about many of the Caribbean countries, and like Portugal, they love color. And so the buildings are different colors. And so we're walking along, and we find that we go to this old fort, and we're standing out in front of this old fort, you know, from back in 1600s or so. And this guy comes up to us, and travel makes you a conversationalist. You don't mind talking to people. And so this guy, he spoke kind of broken English, but he could speak English. And we were saying, what's a good restaurant to go to? He started telling us about this restaurant and giving us directions for it. And we said, well, I asked him, last question was, is the food good? He says, I just came from there. Right? And so our little party, we head off and we find this restaurant. There is no way you would go knock on the door because it was like camouflaged. It was this big 10-foot door for the front door, and there's no way you would even know it's a restaurant, really. But he gave us instructions, and he said, go here, go here. And so I open up this kind of 10-foot door, and beautiful restaurant. All the smells come out. You wouldn't even know. And we get there, an authentic Puerto Rican dinner. We all had lunch. We all had authentic, all the cuisine. I mean, Ron, it was so good. It was so good. And we all had different things so we could try each other's meal. So, but after the meal, walking the streets of Old San Juan, you know, Brenda's really good on directions, but we were looking for a sunset. And so we saw the sun reflecting off these colored buildings. And as we got closer, we saw that, you know, there was water in the distance. And then there was sun. By the time we turned the bend, all we could see was the water, the sun getting ready to set, sailboats, catamaran. There was actually a catamaran excursion that you could take that would position you to see the sunset. Well, we didn't take the excursion. We said, let's just walk. We're looking there at the catamaran, but we're looking from the banks, and we see the whole horizon and the sun sets, and we go, wow. We go, wow, amazing. But the entrepreneurial, the pioneer spirit, travel gives you that. Travel gives you that courage to go into places and talk to the locals and ask questions. Travel gives you that, to, like Ron said, to be on the beaches, dancing in the moonlight, the music's going. Ron's meeting my Gideon buddy from Oregon, and they're talking, we're talking Gideon stuff. could barely hear each other because the music is just going and going, and the moonlight is there, and we're dancing and singing, and which is kind of hard to do, by the way, but it's fun. And they've got the little bartenders coming around asking if you want a drink. They've got the hors d'oeuvre, the trays. Do you want this shrimp hors d'oeuvre? Do you want this, da-da-da-da? And we're eating the hors d'oeuvres, and we're having a great time. Travel puts you in that mood. Travel puts you in that vibe. Right? And that's what we do when we travel. And so the cruise was a 9-day cruise. We went to the San Juan, Puerto Rico. So in the Dominican Republic, we wanted to jet ski, you know, the wave runners. And so Brittany and I said, okay, let's jet ski. So we get in the Dominican Republic. We don't do any excursions. We come out from the cruise ship. We meet this taxi guy, and he says, sure, I'll take you to a resort where you can do the jet ski. And he takes us to this resort, beautiful resort, kind of like the resorts we stay at. And but he brings us in. And Brittany and I, my daughter and I, we just thought of her because that same courage. She gets on a jet ski for the first time. And they only had two, and so we couldn't even go together. But she gets on a jet ski because she has instilled in her the spirit of an entrepreneur and pioneer. I'll try it. I'll do it. I'll dive in. I'll make it happen. And for the first time ever on a jet ski, she takes off. I'm like, oh, my God. So when she comes back 15 minutes later, I'm like, man, she did so good. I've been on once before. Do I want to go? But I got to go. And so I get on, and I take off, but I make the immediate adjustment because I have the spirit of a travel pioneer. I have the spirit of an entrepreneur. I'll get in there, and we'll figure it out as we go. I encourage anyone listening to this show, take on that spirit. Get that courage. Dive in. It's 2023. This is your year. 2023 will be a creation of your own imagination. What will it be? Back to you, Ron.
And no, I'm still dancing in the moonlight.
Dancing in the moonlight.
Rick, I think there's some folks on the call today that have been listening to our show different times, or they've kind of looked up some things on the internet and had some ideas, and they've been thinking about maybe diving in. You know, we always say this, you know, some people go into the pool and they put their toe in. No, we say dive in. But I understand there might be some folks on the call today that had some questions, general questions that they might want to ask, because you certainly are the person to ask if I'm in my book. You're my go-to guy.
Sure.
So,
what questions
someone,
do we have anyone on the call? Founded in faith, forged in America.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. Kings, beautiful, beautiful people. You know, I might have
hello.
A question. So, this is Queen out of Buffalo. Listen, I really came when I thought I was going to have some questions, but you guys' journey today, Ron took it right out of my mouth. I was still la-la land, and I'm like, I wonder if he really knows that I'm really visualizing and feeling exactly the freedom that he feels right now. I am just, so all my questions, I have to come back, to land and get them because I'm out at sea right now. And I'm serious.
All right.
Oh, my God, your testimony and your journeys is just breathtaking, especially when you can receive them in the same space and you believe what you hear, and it's just awesome. And I thank you so much for sharing this with me. I pass the mic.
Awesome. It's our pleasure. Dancing in the moonlight.
I just remember. I remember them playing that song that night, and yeah, that's music from when, you know. I know you. For me, I was listening to that song. It was like the old golden oldies. You always play the old time songs. Those weren't, you know. I might not have been around when that song played, but anyways, they were playing it that night, and then you hear that song every time it comes on the radio. I hear this song and the picture, the vision of everybody there moving and grooving. That's some of the lines of the song, moving and grooving. Just
it's true.
Taking in the night, having the what time
it's
of your
true.
Life. And, you know, travel opens that door, allows you to be free. Now, I say when someone who has already in their life experienced the transition of becoming a believer, see, if you don't have belief in your life, that can hold you back from everything. Not just everything that we talk about, but everything. And when you reach that point and you've done that, now, I'm just saying I found the difference of being in that position allows us the freedom to understand how we can be free and move forward. But the whole key to the whole thing, when we all get down to this, is this and this whole organization, even Hope, is all predicated on being a servant leader. You have to be not in it for you. You can, I will tell you, you can be blessed. Your life can be shown favor, as it has with you, Rick and Brenda, and many, many others. But the key is you got to learn to be a servant. What can you do for somebody else? And then God can favor you, too. And I'm
and
so
and
proud
can I
just to
jump
live.
In before we... I'm so
sure
sorry, enough. I didn't mean to be... I thought you had called.
Hey, let me jump
I
in quick. I added
extent.
A...
Oh, I just wanted to say
I added a little more time onto the show.
Oh, thank you. I wanted to congratulate Brenda and Rick with their son, and Country Boy took it out of my mouth as well. That's how I was feeling it. You know, that'd be proof from the heavens, personally talking to an individual that chose this path to serve him, as Ron was just describing. And when you fall right into a slab of perfection like that, it's just, you just know, it's just, if anyone was looking for confirmation, is he real? Do he really? Yes, you do. And it just was proven by you being honored to honor your son. Like, I got chills. So congratulations. That's a miracle for me, because when it's like hitting the bullseye to heaven, it's just showing, you know, God just come out and be like, yep, that's mine's right there. That one's mine's right there. So congratulations, you two, and I'm so happy to know you both. And to your son, and to my nephew, congratulations. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. That is, you're absolutely
too.
Right. That's good. You're absolutely right. When your son can, or your children ask you to do anything and respect you and hold you in that place, because sometimes you don't know, you know, until you have an opportunity to feel them and to hear them and their requests. And so, yeah, you're right. That is that was a major, major, major blessing, you know, for Brenda and I, for him to honor us that way. And for both of them, my kids, there to be able to be productive in society and making their own money and doing their own thing. And in every instance, people asking us, how did you raise them? And we're like, well, we beat them. No. But how did you raise them? How did you do this, you know, with the idea that they can actually duplicate it? And as we know on this call, you are who you are. And your kids become who you are. And you can actually tell who you are by looking at your kids, because they're the only ones that can actually, you know, you're the only one they can learn from. And so you're teaching them something because of not saying, okay, do this, do this, do this, but, you know, live this, live this, live this. And that's what's so beautiful about the people that are part of Hope, is that that's who they are. And so when I first saw Joel and what Joel was talking about and paying things forward, and like you said, Ron, being a servant leader, I'm like, hey, I can relate to that. You know, and then of course to meet everybody in Hope on the show, I'm like, hey, I can relate to that. You're my friend, and even Mary Stanley, who just jumped right in. You know, that's how we do. And you know, anything outside of that, go ahead and mute your phone. We're getting a lot of feedback. Mute your phone. But anything outside of that is not normal. It doesn't feel normal. anything outside of that. And one of the things, as we get older, you begin to understand and to learn, you do what you want to do. You know, you don't have to go and follow the crowd. You do what you want to do. Coming into travel, you do what you want to do. You don't have to follow the crowd. But here's something I know. If a person does not take control of their future, the future takes control of them. And the future, especially as we continue on, now know that it's never too late, but as we continue on, the future will start dictating, here's what I need you to do, unless you take control of the future and say, no, here's what we're going to do. And that's a decision that Brenda and I made back in 2004, 2005. And in walking in that courage and that entrepreneurial courage that we're talking about, and walking into the unknown that Country Boy speaks of, and walking in just to go. I don't care where, just go. Get on that Mayflower. Go across the water where people are saying the world falls off at the horizon. You know, go. Just go. You know, whether it's a witness, whether it's a missionary field, or go, just go. But being able to do it, that's the spirit of the entrepreneur. That's the spirit of trusting something bigger than yourself. And unless a person gets into that place, here's what I know, the future will start dictating, here's what you're going to do. See, a lot of times people actually have more control than they're willing to understand or believe that they do have. You know, and you don't even know it because life will bluff you. And if you take the bluff, you will sit down, you will shut up, you will curl up into a little baby curl, because life will bluff you. And it's only a bluff. You know, and that's one of the things that we talk Travel Tuesday, but this is a tool for us. You know, if you talk to Ron, he'll tell you this is a tool for fundraising for churches. This is a tool for creating residual income. You talk to Rick, you know, he didn't have to rush back to Colorado Springs because his money comes from all over the world. It doesn't come from the city of Colorado Springs where somebody can set the spigot and say, no, he's doing too much. Let's turn off this spigot and make him fight for survival. No, because of the wisdom to understand that I need multiple streams of income. I need my money to come from multiple sources. I need it to come from over in Buffalo, New York. I need it to come from somewhere in Europe. I need it to come from somewhere over in Africa. I need it to come from somewhere in Asia. I need to multiply multiple states, you know, where it's coming. And I'm mobile to go to any one of them. Do you hear what I just said? That's a decision. That's a decision that for 2023 people need to make now. Otherwise, 2023 will come and go in the blink of an eye, and you'll still be in the same place. You know, you'll still be saying, I should have, would have. How do you say it, Ron? I should have,
Rick,
would've.
I got one more thought
could've.
For you guys. I was sitting here should've, laughing would've. Because you never guess what I'm eating, Ron. A friend of mine just got back from Frankfurt, Germany, and bought me a box of them chocolates that you were talking about. I don't know
all
if it's
right,
the exact
yeah,
same size. And then, Rick, while you was at the last part of what you were saying, I was starting to think, wow, some people do have the opportunity to travel all around the world, but they never really, really get the opportunity to meet their heroes. And I was thinking, wow, Rick met his heroes. He raised them, his children. Wow.
Amen.
Great point. Well, you know what, Rick and everybody that's on the call, you know, Mary has been wonderful. She's kind of a moderator, and she's our guru in the back office of the blog radio show to help us make and extend it. And she's done that so that we had more time. And in the past, the hour would come, the 1 o'clock hour would hit, and the show would shut down. We didn't have control. It's done. But she's got it so that it has been able to be extended. And I want to thank everyone that's joining the call today. There is another show. There's one every day the rest of the week at noon Eastern time. And you can call in, and you can. There's different topics every day. Wednesday, Mary Stanley hosts that show, and it basically is all about developing the attitude, getting help, find ways,
for life improvement. She's a certified life coach, which is one of the programs that we offer to get certification to be life coach. And that's in under the certifications at the whole collection. So you can help somebody do that and more. I mean, I can go on and on and talk about that program. But, guys, there's services available to you through the Hope Collection and the Golden Rule Society that we bring to this world, around the world. And some people hear us on the blog, radio, call, and direct. Others listen to us on different platforms that we now broadcast to as the radio station. They call it the blog radio, Hope Collection. And our title of our show is Optimize Life. And I think today is
the title of
in,
our station is Optimize My Life.
Well, there we go.
We are a radio
station. I get corrected all the time. So we upgraded who we are. And folks, going forward in this year, we hope that you partake, jump in with both feet, you know, come to the table and expect to eat and have a feast. Thank you. Thanks, Rick Reese. Thank you, Country Boy. Thank you, Mary, and others that I know join the show. And we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, and God bless.
Stay with you. God bless.
God bless.
Hey, Rick, can you give me a call?